Hi there, I'm Mary Hartman, Director of Education at Bard on the Beach. This is Goblin Oedipus in a Nutshell. Before I begin, I'd like to invite you to learn more about the location of our Shakespeare Festival. It's been called Sanok for more than 1,000 years by the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can learn more on our website, in your house program, or near the entrance to our festival site. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the sponsor of the In a Nutshell Talks, Global BC. In 2023, a truly remarkable thing happened at Bard on the Beach. Three goblins arrived and took over the Douglas Campbell Theater. You see, they'd come across the complete works of Shakespeare and were impressed with this writer who had such an appreciation for magical creatures and such extensive insight into human nature. In order to better understand humans, the goblins decided to do theater. They chose Macbeth because it was short, had magic, and was full of blood. Anyone who saw Goblin Macbeth will no doubt appreciate that these creatures are certainly bloodthirsty, but also intelligent, perceptive, and spontaneously hilarious. Well, Wug, Kragva, and Moog are back. When they performed Macbeth, they were fascinated by the way live theater brings an audience together. They'd like to find out whether this was a fluke unique to the play Macbeth, or whether it's simply what theater is all about. So what better choice for their next exploration than going back to the very roots of Western theater, ancient Greek tragedy? And one of the most famous stories from that tradition is that of Oedipus. Nowadays, if people have heard of Oedipus, it's often thanks to the theories of the early 20th century psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. But those theories have very little to do with the story told in the play, so let's take a look at that instead. We're in the Greek city-state of Thebes, which is being ravaged by a deadly plague. King Oedipus has sent his brother-in-law, Creon, to seek guidance from the oracle at Delphi. Creon returns with troubling news. The plague will continue until the murderer of the previous king, Laius, is found and brought to justice. Oedipus vows to investigate in order to save his people. As the story unfolds, we learn that Oedipus isn't originally from Thebes. He became king after defeating the Sphinx, a murderous monster with a fondness for riddles. His reward was not only the throne of Thebes, but also marriage to Laius's widow, Queen Jocasta. As Oedipus interviews witnesses and struggles to interpret elusive prophecies, a shocking and shameful truth gradually emerges. If you already know this backstory, don't worry, there are still plenty of surprises in store. But if you don't, I won't reveal any spoilers here. Instead, let's take a quick look at the history and traditions of ancient Greek theater. About 2,500 years ago in Athens, the annual Festival Dionysia brought the citizens of the city together to honor the god Dionysus. Dionysus is the god of wine, orchards, fertility, festivity, insanity, and religious ecstasy. The festival would begin with a grand procession in which people carried offerings to honor Dionysus. These included wine, fruit, and phalloi, the plural of phallus, celebrating the many aspects of his divinity. The festival also featured a theater competition. Three playwrights were selected, and each wrote one comedy and three tragedies. All 12 plays were performed over 4 days, with a prize awarded at the end. No playwright won the prize more often than Sophocles, who wrote the original versions of both plays in the Douglas Campbell Theater this season. But surprisingly, Oedipus did not bring Sophocles victory. Perhaps the play was simply too shocking, or perhaps the other entries that year were even more remarkable. Sadly, we'll never know, because those plays have been lost. A distinctive feature of ancient Greek theater was its remarkably small cast. A maximum of 3 actors played all the roles, relying on masks, movement, and voice to distinguish the different characters. Then there was the chorus, a group of about a dozen masked performers who moved together and spoke with a single voice. Today we see echoes of this choral tradition in the way groups perform together, a choir, the corps de ballet, the chorus in musical theater, or the backing singers and dancers supporting a pop star in concert. But the chorus was central in Greek theater. In fact, it's where Western theater itself began. The earliest performances took the form of groups of people telling stories through song and dance, much like other storytelling traditions found in cultures throughout the world. In Oedipus, the chorus represents the people of Thebes and can be thought of as our representatives on stage. The chorus connects us to the action and offers a collective response to the characters, the events, and ultimately, to what it all means to us in the grand scheme of things. Goblin Oedipus is playing in the Douglas Campbell Theater until September 19th. We hope you'll see all the plays in our 2026 season. You can find details at bardonthebeach.org. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful time at Bard on the Beach.